you'd like to open your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 1, we'll be looking at verses 18 through 21 this morning. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 to 21. And I'll be reading those verses as we begin. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we're thankful for the Word of God this morning and for this revelation of Jesus Christ. This truth of the Word of God, which says that Jesus is the Son of God, that he was born into this world by divine means, and that he came into this world to save his people from their sins. And Lord, we know that that salvation is a salvation which is available to all men alike, to all peoples of all nations and of all nationalities and of all languages. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save those who would call upon him. And we thank you, Father, for this great and wonderful message and Christmas story, which we can reaccount at this time of the year in remembrance and celebration of the birth of Christ. For it is in Jesus' name we pray, and we ask your blessing. Amen. The title of the message is simply taken from the scriptures in this, He shall save his people from their sins. I guess one of the most wonderful messages that we have in the Bible is this message of Christ and of his coming into the world. For it is a message of salvation. This morning, if you would be saved and know God as your personal Savior, even Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to die for the sins of the world, all you have to do is to acknowledge this truth and to accept it personally, knowing Jesus as your Lord. Now, how would one do that? But through the scriptures itself. For God said that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, born of a virgin, and that that virgin would bring forth a son, and his name would be called Jesus. To acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to take him into your life and to plead with him upon the basis of that very atonement which he has made, that he would forgive your sins. Now that is the important part of the message. Everything else within the message itself comes together upon the revelation of God, showing that Jesus Christ is truly the Son of God. And so we just look at three areas this morning. First of all, a holy conception. Secondly, a holy child. And thirdly, a holy Savior. Now, it was a holy conception. That is, we find the scripture gives testimony of this very truth, that Jesus was born of a virgin, that she was had never had any relationships with any man previously, nor at this time either. And that Joseph was not the father of Jesus by biology, but rather that Joseph was the father of Jesus because he cared for Jesus as a young child. But we find that the true conception of the Lord Jesus Christ as he is brought into the world in the womb of Mary is by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And that is what the testimony of the scripture says. In verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or in this way, or in this manner, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. This is the most wonderful truth that we find in the Word of God concerning Jesus, that he is brought into the world by divine means. And that this great and wonderful truth is because God decided to send forth his Son into the world that he might be the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The salvation of man will come from God alone. That is the testimony of the scriptures, that man cannot save himself from his sin, that God must be the one who brings forth the salvation that man can find his redemption. And in this way, and by this divine means, we find that God brings forth Jesus Christ into the world. I'd like to read from the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1, verse 26. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verse 26. Now this account, of course, gives a little bit more information to us. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation or greeting this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, that is the further account that we have of this divine and miraculous conception which Mary has. It is a holy conception. It is a conception from God the Father. It is a conception by the Holy Spirit of God. And that Mary would conceive and bring forth a son, and that his name should be called Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 14 said, And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. It is this child that would be born who would be the salvation not only of all who would believe in Israel, but in the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so by divine conception, this holy child came into the world. Secondly, we find that it is a holy child. Not only a holy conception, but a holy child. In fact, as we look at this passage in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, we find that this conception is in such a manner that the angel and God himself, through divine revelation, gives comfort unto Joseph that he might realize that this child was truly of God and that Mary had not been unfaithful to him at all. In verse 19 of Matthew chapter 1, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And so we find that as Joseph might feel very uncomfortable in this relationship with Mary and may feel as though that there has been some unfaithfulness and he did not want to have any embarrassment, he was ready to put Mary away privately, not to make her a public example. But God the Holy Spirit told this angel to go and be the messenger unto Joseph that he might realize that this was a holy child. This was a child of divine conception. This was a holy child. This child was from God. Truly from God. And so the angel brings this message to Joseph and tells him to not fear. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about this event which is about to take place. Because it is of God. It is of God. And he quiets Joseph's heart. And we find that he tells Joseph that Mary would bring forth a child. And that child would be of the Holy Ghost. Would be of God the Holy Spirit. And so how wonderful it is when we come to this time of the year that we can look at the very Word of God itself and see where Jesus came from. He came forth from the Father. We can look at the Word of God and realize that this child, Jesus, was not an illegitimate child. He was of God the Father. By the Holy Spirit of God did he come into the world, and that he was sent on a divine mission, a mission of salvation, a mission where all who would believe and trust in him as Savior would find in him the true salvation of God, the true redemption that God offered to man. And we find that this is a holy conception. This is a holy child. And then lastly, as we look at this passage this morning, he is a holy Savior. A holy Savior. As we read here in this passage, we find in verse 21 that it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. The word Jesus here, it is a New Testament word, but also has further meaning that it is a word which means Jehovah is salvation. And so it not only appears in the New Testament, but it has Old Testament connotation and strong meaning. For it says, in the very meaning of the word, Jehovah is salvation. And we find that Jesus Christ would be sent by God the Father in this to this very end, that he would be known as the salvation of God the Father, the salvation of Jehovah. This morning, we can trust in Jesus, knowing that he is the true salvation of God. The true salvation of God. In fact, he is the only salvation of God revealed in the Scriptures. The only one. There is no other salvation of God revealed in the Word of God. Jesus alone has that divine privilege and office as being the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. Jehovah is salvation. We'd also like to refer to a passage in the Old Testament, which I have used before, but we'll use again at this time, because it supports this very thing that we are saying about Jesus. In Isaiah, in chapter 7 and verse 14, Isaiah in chapter 7 in verse 14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Again, we find those very similar words being used of Jesus in Matthew chapter 1, that there would be a virgin, and that virgin would conceive, and that virgin's name would be called Jesus, because his name means Jehovah saves. Also, we find that in the same book, in Isaiah, in chapter 9, in verse 6 and 7, if you just turn over a page or two, it says this, Chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it." The same child that would be born of a virgin, this same child that would come forth from God, this same child which is called Jehovah is salvation, is this child that we are speaking of this morning. Of course, we knew that that child came into the world by this means, but he grew up. He grew up to be a man who would be known as Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That this man, at the age of 33 or thereabouts, would set out to fulfill the very will of God, in that he would go to the cross and that he would die for the sins of the world. And we find that this child is called the Emmanuel. The Emmanuel. Just as Isaiah referred to him, now we find in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 1 that it says in verse 22 and 23, "Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet." We just got done reading the prophet Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. In other words, this holy conception was God's divine work that this child might be called the only begotten of God, because it was conceived of the Holy Ghost. This child that would be the holy child, Jesus, would come into the world born of a virgin without a human father. That he would be born into the world, that he would not be tainted by the same sinful desires of men. Though he possessed a human nature, yet the divine nature in him, which was given to him by God, was that which was sufficient to overcome any temptation that he would come under. And therefore did he overcome all temptation by the divine nature which was in him, the nature of God himself. And that scripture says that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now how could he do that? Because he had within him the divine nature. And that divine nature was sufficient to overcome any temptation of the natural man which he was born into the flesh with. He is the Son of God. He is the only begotten Son of God. And he came into the world to die for the sins of the world. He came into the world to die for your sin and my sin. And that his very name, Jesus, Jehovah is salvation, is accompanied with this characteristic, Emmanuel. You see, that is not so much a name as it is a characteristic of who he was. What does the word Emmanuel mean? God with us. In other words, that word itself underscores the virgin birth of Christ. This is God with us. This is the holy conception. This is the holy child. This is the holy Savior. This is God with us. This is Jesus. This is Jehovah's is salvation. This is the one who came in the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. This is the one that we celebrate at the Christmas season, because he is the Savior of the world. He is your Savior and my Savior. And the Word of God simply says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you're trusting in anyone or anything else to save you, at the end of your days, you are trusting in the wrong thing or wrong person. There is only one person that can be trusted in at the end of your days. And that is Jesus. There is no other Savior, no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none other but Jesus. And so he is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the virgin-born Son of God. He is the Savior of his people. He is God in the flesh, and he has been given that you might trust in him as your Lord and your Savior. I'd like to again refer to Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, and just read verses 8 through 11 in closing. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, in verses 8 through 11. In closing. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the divine messenger, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The word Christ means anointed. Christ the Lord the anointed of God. Jehovah is salvation. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Of course, that little phrase is often used, isn't it, in our Christmas carols. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. What peace? The peace of God. The goodwill of God toward man. The goodness of God leadeth us to repentance. To all men. Jesus came as a Savior to all men. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him as we have talked about him this morning? If you do not, I would invite you to take him as your Lord and Savior. Remember, at the end of days, the one thing that matters is whether you are trusting in Jesus. For Jesus alone, in his very name, says, Jehovah is salvation. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you for the message of Christ and of salvation, and that Jesus is the salvation of all who call upon him. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. And for our closing hymn, number 176.